everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Any thoughts on our Astros? I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know. You tell me. That was Presley is, why he has to be in the eighth inning, especially with the top of the order coming up. When your best hitters are coming up, put your best pitcher. I've always believed this. Put Hader in the eighth against the top of the order and put Presley in the ninth. He's been better. He was a really good closer. But you don't want him facing Seager in the three-hole. You don't want that. You don't want Presley. You don't want the top of the, come on. You just can't. Not the way he's pitching. I mean, listen, he went, yeah, I know, he went 15 straight outings without giving up a run. And he had, you know, it's zero clean sheets. Zero. Well, I think he had one. Okay, let's take a look at Ryan Presley over his last. He did have a hit, a homer, earned run last night. His previous outing, one inning pitch, two hits. Okay, one strikeout. Previous outing, one inning, two hits. One inning, two hits. One inning, one hit. One inning, no hits. One inning, no hits. One inning, he did go three consecutive games without giving up a hit. 1-1, 1-1. He was pretty good, yet he still is, you know, it's always a danger zone. He's given up a walk or a hit for the most part. There's usually second and third whenever he's out there. And he's just got to get out of a jam. It's just what we come to expect, Brian Presley. But why? Why does he have to face the top of the order? Move him around. Why does it have to be? Listen, it doesn't have to be. Do you get the seventh? You get the eighth? You get the ninth? AJ Hinch had talked about this before. I want to put my best pitcher against the best part of their lineup. Why don't you do that? We can't because it's baseball. And we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. What? We want to win baseball games.
What utopia do you think you're living in where you could get off telling Josh Hader, sorry, man, I need you to pitch eighth. Not tonight. It ain't going to happen.
Listen, Dell, he's already got his $95 million. You know what? He's doing more than he did in San Diego. He said, nah, I ain't going more than one inning. No. I pitch one inning here. That's it. And the Padres were kind of, and some players made it. Early this season, they made a comment about
Wasn't it.
They
Musgrove?
Had a reliever that came in. Who was it?
Joe Musgrove said it. It's nice to have a guy who, you know, will do more than just pitch that inning.
And then here's Josh Hader here going, well, I'll do that. That's fine. I got my 95. I'm good. I got my 95 now. Let me do whatever I can for the team. So if you told Josh Hader, well, guess what, Josh? We want you against the best part of their lineup. We don't want – I'm sorry. It's going to bring down your save numbers, but you ain't getting no big contract after this one anyway.
How old is Josh Hader?
Josh Hader is 31, I want to say. What is he?
He's 30. Turned 30 in April.
Yeah. He's got 5 years of this. He's going to be 35 years old. And by the way, other teams will know. Oh, Josh Hader goes and gets their best – okay, what do you do with Derek Stingley? Do you put Derek Stingley on their number two guy?
Do they travel Derek Stingley?
I think they do.
Does he follow Derek Stingley? Because top corners do that. You mentioned Derek Stingley, but some corners stick to their side.
I know. That's stupid. It's stupid. Are you here for the team or are you here just for yourself? And it's stupid that you got to have Josh Hader. Instead of Josh Hader hitting the fourth, fifth, and sixth hitters, he's going to be pitching against the 7, 8, 9 guys in the ninth inning?
The same Josh Hader who doesn't do well in safe situations? Or non-safe situations?
Right. Right.
The one who has struggled this year when he's not in to
well,
close
out a game.
Well,
when he's facing their best hitters, he's going to kick ass.
Okay. Because this is just speaks to roles. Josh
well,
Hader,
how about,
he was
how
fine
about Brian
yesterday.
Abreu do it then? How about Brian Abreu?
Whatever. I'm just speaking to roles. Josh Hader's the name you're mentioning. He, as a guy this year, has not been great. When it isn't, shut it down. Let's close out this game. For whatever reason. For whatever reason. So roles apparently are very important to these pitchers. Maybe it's superstition. Maybe it's a routine. Not knowing when you're going to come in may affect them. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just pointing out the history of baseball.
You know what's affecting me? Ryan Pressly in the eighth inning.
Well,
that's affecting me.
He's going to give up a home run every now and again, John.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Not if
clearly,
he's not facing
yes.
Corey Seager. Listen, if he's facing their nine hitter, he's going to give up fewer.
Okay. But he will still give up things because that's what Ryan Pressly does. And you know what? Caleb Ferguson came in and gave up. He gave up a home run to a guy who was 0-for-4.
Caleb Ferguson was. They were lucky to get a human being for Caleb Ferguson. Okay.
So why was he in the game?
He was in the game because listen, Joe Espada does it different. I mean, he don't care. He's pitching Hader in the ninth inning. You know, you do know that when you're on the road, you need a closer.
Why didn't
right?
Hader come out, since he can be a two-inning guy, why didn't he come out for the 10th?
Why didn't he come out? I don't know. I don't know why he didn't come out for the 10th. I don't know.
Closed out the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea why. But if in the top of the inning, if you take the lead, you need a closer for the bottom of the inning. And that's exactly what happened. So why pitch Hader in the ninth of a tie game? That's my question. Because you still need a closer.
I guess either way, Caleb Ferguson was going to make an appearance. I guess he could have gave up the home run in the ninth or given it up in the tenth if you weren't going to pitch Hader two innings.
Right. Well, again, it's who is he facing? He had to face the top of the order in Josh Smith, and guess what he did? When he was facing the bottom of the order, everything was great. When he had to face the top of the order, ooh, lose the game. So, when you're the home team and you're in extra innings, you pitch your best first. Because at the bottom of the inning, if you score a run to beat them, the game is over. You don't need a closer. But when you're on the road, you have to have a closer. And so Caleb Ferguson is who we decided. That's who we're going to close the game after we took a one-run lead. And by the way, score more runs. That's enough.
One run?
Score more
no,
runs.
Two runs last night.
They still had the bases loaded and one out. Again, how many times did they have the bases loaded last night with one out?
Well, the number, someone grabbed these on Twitter. In their last four innings, the Astros sent 11 men to the plate with a run on third and didn't hit the ball out of the infield once.
Yeah. No, that's a problem. That's a problem, sis. I know. That's a problem.
They're awful bases loaded, period. Adam Wexler has this. Only the Marlins and White Sox are worse as far as OPS with the bases loaded. The Astros last night, 1-7, 5 Ks with the bases loaded last night.
Just freaking awful. Myers, okay, in the 10th, bases loaded, one out. Jake Myers strikes out Cabbage, grounds out to first. In the 8th, bases loaded, Myers strikes out, Cabbage strikes out. Oh, my God. That is just awful. Just terrible. You had Dubon. Oh, bases loaded in the 7th. Dubon strikes out in the worst at-bat of the season. Literally the worst at-bat of the season. And then Leon struck out swinging.
Some of
again.
Those Pedro Leon at-bats are going to rival Dubon. Don't worry.
He's a young guy. Man, the stuff that Dubon is swinging at right now, his approach, Yiner had a ball that almost hit him that he's swinging on. Their approach right now at the plate is awful.
Did Dubon need to say another prayer? Because remember, the last time he came up big, he said
well, he's
a prayer.
Got a cross.
And
he's
the
got
cross
the bear. Apparently, he's trying to swing with the cross as opposed to a bat.
So maybe the cross to bear isn't off his back yet. Maybe send another prayer to the man upstairs every time you're in a situation like that. If the results are going to be you're going to hit a big home run, as opposed to what we saw last night.
I'm just sickened.
You're just upset because of the expectations you put on this team.
Not the expectations. That's my team.
Best team ever.
We got the best team in baseball.
Does it feel like the best team ever right now?
Yes. It does.
When you're watching Dubon and Leon and Ferguson and Presley, does it feel like the best team in Astros history? Or the greatest, whatever you called it, the greatest
season? It really does. The greatest season in Astros history. It's the greatest season. I didn't say it's the greatest. It's the greatest season in Astros history.
Did it feel like that?
Because of where they've come from and how they're going to finish strong and then how they're going to win in the postseason. You'll see.
Yeah, when Caleb Ferguson is out there trying to get outs in the divisional round, I'm sure you're going to feel great.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Dream shake. When you get a base hit to left on the Astros and Chaz McCormick comes
throw.
Up throwing.
Now, he made a good defensive play earlier in the night, but that throw, woof.
Holy crap. That's one. I mean, you're a major leaguer. How do you make that throw like that? That's why, and somebody said you got to have Yordan in left. I mean, you do. Yordan's arm is fantastic. That was one of the worst throws ever. Yet you got to save Yordan's knees. You got to save Yordan from running into stuff or his knees buckling and he falling down. You got to save him from doing that stuff. But you got to have his arm. Jake doesn't have an arm. I mean, honestly, other than Tuck has an arm, but where is he?
Well, he's not in Arlington. He didn't travel with the team.
Yeah, anybody see him?
But he did. But he was doing stuff yesterday. That's what we were told.
He was. What was he doing? Drinking coffee?
No, he wasn't at Maven. He wasn't at Maven Coffee. He was doing baseball stuff. He just didn't travel.
Oh my God, it is just awful. Just get back out there, Tuck. We could use you with the bases loaded. Not Tuck. Not postseason Tuck from last year. You know, the good one. The good one that was an all-star because and he played in four games, and yet he was still an all-star. Goodness gracious. This is abysmal. This offense, over the last 11 games, only the White Sox are worse. That's how bad this is.
The White Sox are in the middle of a 21-game losing streak, by the way.
21 games.
They better win a game before they see the Astros. I'm just telling you, because you lose to the White Sox because they're overdue. I can't have it. This version of you, which is already depressing, you're in that closet in L.A., in that hostage situation. You're already depressed about this team. If they drop a game to the White Sox, I don't think we'll see John again. I think he'll stay in L.A.
Well, it was the White Sox loss that brought on the that's when they fell 10. I believe that's when they fell 10 games under 500 and were in their worst state ever, losing to the White Sox that first game. And that's what brought out ugliness. That's the ugliest I've been with them this year.
Yeah, you weren't a fan of the team.
I was a fan of the team. I was very angry with them, and I'm very angry with them now. They gotta be Heaney. You destroy this guy. You destroy Heaney, and you can't hit him. You're embarrassing yourself. You're embarrassing yourself right now, Astros. Let's go. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. You got any thoughts on anything we're talking about? You're more than welcome to get in here. So you don't want to buy a house right now because of the interest rates. That's dumb. Because the interest rates are high, a lot of houses are going for less. People have to take less. They've been on the market. The people aren't buying houses. So the houses aren't up. And so then after you buy the house and you get this interest rate, you refi. And now you got the house at a better price, and you got the interest rate where you want it as soon as the interest rates go down. So here's the deal. Kent Jones is here for you. Despite the fact that the interest rates are high, Kent Jones is still going to get you the best rate that he possibly can, and he's going to get you, and he's going to save you thousands in expenses that other dealerships are not saving you. You know why? Because they want to put that in their pockets. Kent Jones has got a smaller business. It's just him. He takes on 8 clients, and that's it. But he's been doing this for 30 years. He knows more about the mortgage game than anybody. And I'm telling you, the dude is up. He nerds out on this stuff. He loves it. He loves saving, taking nicks and corners and making it so that he can save you money. He loves doing that stuff. And you'll talk to him a bunch. I didn't know who did my mortgage. I had no idea. I'm dumb. I didn't shop it. You need to shop it. But Kent Jones is the guy to go see. He's a listener, he loves the show, and he loves helping you. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or 975loans.com.
Dream Rate Mortgage, LLC. NMLS number 248-2473. Jake and Jones. NMLS number 356-118. Equal housing lender.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, wow. Well, there's some truth. Dustin Burt, the big hurt Burt, says, can you do anything about the Trey Cabbage experiment? Feels like he's 2 for 50 as a pro. You will remember Trey Cabbage had an 866 OPS back in June, just 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's gone the way of Jake Meyers being a good hitter, too.
Yeah, there was that talk about Jake Meyers being good at baseball, and then that's dissipated. But Trey Cabbage hit 314 in June and 35 at-bats, 11 hits. That was pretty good. He had an 866 OPS. Last month, not so good. He was 4 for 31, 129 average, 408 OPS. This month, he's got 3 at-bats. It's not easy. One of the hardest jobs in sports, I think, is pinch hitting. I mean, you're sitting there cold. Usually you're against a reliever that's humping it. He's fresh. He's humping it up at a hundy. I mean, that's one of the hardest jobs. You come off the bench and he starts throwing changeups at you when you're expecting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball and it's coming in at 81. How are you going to do that? Or he's throwing a slider. And, yeah, I mean, it's just impossible. It's one of the hardest jobs ever. So I feel for him. Trey Cabbage was actually really good after being terrible in May. And he was really good in June, terrible again in July, and now 0 for 3 this month. But it ain't an easy job. So what do you expect out of Trey Cabbage?
Was Trey Cabbage given an invite or a minor league deal? I'm trying to remember how they acquired him before.
No, they got him from the Angels.
In a trade, right?
I think they got him in a trade.
So the likes of Trey Cabbage, Pedro Leon, Jake Meyers,
Chaz.
Well, I didn't want to insult Chaz.
But Chaz is terrible this year.
He belongs on the list, too. That was four guys in your lineup last night?
Yeah,
Dubon. Well, Dubon, sure. I understand he's been bad.
Listen,
he's been bad.
He's been really bad.
But Dubon would be a guy who they would be depending on really no matter what was happening this year. Chaz, if there was health for Kyle Tucker, Chaz would get less time. How things work out. But that's what we're talking about right now at this lineup. When you throw in the guys you expected to be good who aren't, like Dubon, and then the guys like Cabbage and Leon and Meyers, who there was no real expectation for this year, except for from the Astros. They thought Jake Meyers was going to be their everyday center fielder. How do you win with this? Look, two runs after getting shut out. The recent run has been terrible, but you look at the lineup top to bottom. This isn't a lineup you can win with. This isn't a legit we're going into the playoffs with these guys type of lineup. You would be the underdog in a series specifically because of these guys, the black holes in this lineup up and down, well, particularly the bottom third of it.
Yeah, listen. How do you win with that? You don't. They're not winning with it. That's the point. That the back of that lineup with the runners and score. I mean, they had bases loaded, 1 for 7 with bases loaded. Just ridiculous, just stupid. How bad it's been. And so this is going on now for a while. The pitching has been fantastic, by the way. Starting pitching has been fantastic, and it just not taking advantage of it. Just not taking advantage of it. But that's all right. You know what? This is the low point.
Of course.
And then you bounce back, and what? That's what makes it great. That's what makes this season great.
I'm glad you're excited about it.
I am. Did you see a plane? There was a plane, a Piper PA-28 airplane, that was forced to make a crash landing yesterday on a practice green at Hagen's Oaks Golf Complex in Sacramento. There was a guy standing at... The plane flew between the guy and his clubs, his set of clubs. And, I mean, it landed. It flew into the... He had engine failure. That's why I don't like these one-engine planes, prop planes. If the engine goes out, now how many times does your engine just go out while you're driving your car?
Very rare, and it's generally right? human error because you didn't take care of it. For the most part, I mean,
and you
your engine
be
is
taking care of your plane, right?
Your engine is going to be fine. It's not just going to drop out right. in the middle of your ride.
I don't think I've ever been just driving along and the engine just said, "I'm not going anymore." I don't think that's ever happened to me, and I'm not sure.
My engine, my last car, but it was I had that car for over a decade. Like it, the engine locked up, but it was time at that point.
And listen, when you're going to be flying that engine, you should be checking it regularly, right?
You would hope
You would hope.
Well, are you but more concerned about the person flying the plane, the golfer who was nearly hit by it, or
the
greens?
The practice green.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Were you more concerned about the greens being ruined because
well,
that
I'm
plane?
I'm looking at it right now. You know, President Trump, a lot of times he'll drive on greens. I'm opposed to that.
Okay.
But
is that a big issue for you in November?
What am I going to do to our dictator? What am I supposed to do?
Well, he's not a dictator yet. I mean, that feels like the plan.
He's
but he's
mine.
He's not there yet.
He's mine.
He doesn't have to be.
No, but he is on his golf courses. He is. He actually is on his golf courses because he owns them.
Did you see that allegedly he had back-to-back Eagles?
Yes.
On a what was it, a par what?
Par four.
Something Tiger Woods has never done in his career?
Yeah.
But former President Trump got that done?
Yeah. Well, he actually, it was documented with Bryson DeChambeau. They were shooting something, and he actually knocked it in from he's actually
sure.
a pretty good golfer.
I'm sure now, he did that, yeah.
Now, I think he drives right up on the green and gets out putts, which is why he's not in the greatest shape.
Sure.
But listen, if I owned golf courses, like if it was Granado Golf Course all over the place, guess what I'd do? And I would go up to the next tee box and say, okay, you stand here because I'm going to tee off right now. I'm playing through. Playing through.
So you would throw away all the traditions of golf if you owned one. You wouldn't even pretend you're following what a normal golfer would do.
You think I'm sitting behind you? You just wait.
Why don't you just throw the person off your course? Throw them off.
No, I want that money.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But you're just
going
to have to
wait. How can
you
keep the person around if you're just going to screw up their experience?
Yeah. Listen, make no mistake. I do it just like Trump is. Drive right up on the green, putt. Now, next hole. Excuse me. Excuse me.
We should do a list of things you do like Trump beyond golf. Make a list. We'll do that tomorrow. All the things you do that Trump does.
I don't tweet stupid stuff.
Well, sometimes. you say outlandish things like he does. You're just like him in that regard.
How about this? Do you see in New York, Long Island, they passed a law banning the use of face masks in public? I love that. I was in a store yesterday, and the person who's serving me is wearing a mask.
Were you afraid?
Why are you wearing a mask?
Just to keep your dirty germs away from me.
What are you doing? Wearing a mask.
Beyond COVID, I just want if you're wearing a mask because you don't want to get sick, regular sick from people, I get it. People are disgusting.
But wait, hold on a second. It's a license to rob people. Okay.
The person working at the store?
No, wearing the mask. You're giving them a license to hide themselves so that nobody can find them after they commit a crime. And we can't have that.
Or they could just wear a regular ski mask and do the same thing. But
Then we know you're okay. Now we know what you're doing. But if you come up with a mask on, COVID mask, then I'm my guard is down.
And then I will quickly find out what you're doing. You stick that gun in my face. But I get what you're saying. I get it. People. Is that an epidemic? People wearing COVID masks and robbing people?
Yes. It gives them. It's a license.
Is it an epidemic where people are like, you know what? I'm going to do. I'm going to walk into my local CVS, keep my COVID mask on, and take all their cash.
That's what I'm going to
do. I feel like there would be reporting on this if this was going on. But
no. COVID mask people. Most of them, I feel like they're just criminals.
That's right. Okay. Not trying to avoid sickness or anything. They're using it as an opportunity to take $300 out of the cash register from Walgreens.
If a guy with a COVID mask comes up to you, you're like, your guard is down. But if a guy with a ski mask comes up to you, you're like, wait a minute, I'm in some trouble. I got some
COVID mask.
We got a problem here.
As soon as you say guy, my guard is up. COVID mask, ski mask, it doesn't matter.
Especially if he's a whitey, right?
No, not especially, but I'm not ruling it out.
We got a break at 713-780-3776. That was our News Around the World segment here. But you got to have something that you want to bring to the show. Let's go. 713-780-3776.
We do have Jacob. Jacob, when we come back, we'll talk to you. Jacob wants to talk Astros, so we'll get to Jacob. Anyone else want to talk about the Astros? You want to be depressed by the Astros? Or maybe you just want to talk about John in L.A. We can do that when we come back.
All right.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I got what it takes to rock the mic right, yeah.
Round one of Rock the Mic 2024 is underway. This is your chance to help us determine which 10 podcasts will advance to the second round.
It's time to ask you to vote.
Just go to the ESPN Houston YouTube channel to find the Rock the Mic playlist to see all the entries. Then like your favorite entries to show us who you think is the best. And while you're there, make sure to subscribe to our channel for all of our content.
Hit the button with the word subscribe in it.
That's ESPN Houston on YouTube.
Got what it takes to rock the mic right.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Reminding you that it is Houston Restaurant Weeks right now going on. This is awesome. HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. This is where you get to go to restaurants that you normally can't go to because you can't afford it. $55 is the most expensive meal that you can buy, which is fantastic, especially at some of these restaurants. And these menus were pre-approved to make sure that it's a great deal. So you, and there's a lot of restaurants right now that you can, you got to make your reservation now. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com, pick out the spot. Go and make your reservation for that place and get in there and take advantage of the best prices that you're going to find all year long at different restaurants. And a lot of time you can't go to these nicer restaurants because it's just you can't. Just can't do it. You can now. So this is the time to get on out and enjoy HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Dale, you wanted to talk about rocking the mic?
Well, I was going to do Restaurant Week, but sure. Rock the mic, still going on. We're going to by Friday go from 20 to 10 contestants. And if you guys want any input, go to ESPN Houston on our YouTube channel, and you can comment and like the videos up. Rock the Mic is ongoing.
So you can be a judge.
I think I'm going to be a judge. I want to help the team, but the people can contribute. Like, comment on those videos. Because Rock the Mic is dwindling down, much like the Olympic tournament in basketball, yeah. Where Serbia is trailing Australia, because in the year of our Lord 2024, Patty Mills can go for 20 in the first half for Australia. We're dwindling down from 20 to 10. So Rock the Mic, we'll be at Carbach Brewery later in August for the final. And we want you guys to tell us who you like and comment about what they're saying, because they got to bring Houston sports topics. And I know people don't want us talking about the Astros, so we got a tweet saying, hey, could you get away from these crumb bums and talk about something else? But we won't do that, at least not immediately, because Jacob wants to talk Astros. What's up, Jacob?
Yeah, what I want to say, they be talking about Dana, right? Now, one thing about it, before the trade line, if you in his position and you look at that, you're number three right now, and before that, number three in batting average in the league, would you think that batting or now they did need to get it. I think they did need to get another bat. I'm not saying that. I think they did need to get another bat, but I think they're in a slump right now. Just like what happened with the Yankees. The Mets came through and they swept them, and then they lost one game, and they got the biggest hitters in the league, I believe. So I think they're going to be all right. I think they got to ride the ship. I think that Dana doing a great job with the acquisitions. Everybody was talking about Kikuchi. I think that they knew exactly. They targeted him for what they They want him to do with that strikeout left hand. And real quick, John, I'm a Chicagoan too. I've been here 18 years. And y'all talk about the White Sox. Now the White Sox, they ended a bad thing. I was on 35th Street. That old Comiskey went under the shower, Harry Carey, and things of that nature. So if the White Sox come in, I don't know how I feel about it. Because, you know what I'm saying? I've been here 18 years. I'm with the Strohs. And, you know, of course, Chicago is my home. And the mask in New York, it is just the ski mask. All right, y'all.
All right, pal. Appreciate it, Jacob. Yeah, I don't have any love for I grew up loving White Sox, and I don't have any love for them anymore. I don't care what they do, if you want to know the truth. We're Houstonians, and we care about this team. I hate to see any team as crappy. This is historically one of, if not the worst team in baseball history. This team is putrid.
Something,
and they got a chance to set the record for 26 straight losses.
Something came across the timeline just like minutes ago for me that if you exclude their 20 game losing streak and their 14 game losing streak, they still have like a winning percentage under 390. That's how bad they've been.
That's how bad they are.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awful. And we lost a game to them.
Well, you're going to lose a game every now and again, right?
No.
Just the game.
No, you can't do that. We got them coming up again, which is nice. You're right, though. I want them to win a game.
I need them to win a game. Because at this point, the Astros, every game's going to matter.
I don't need that pressure.
And now they're a game and a half back. And now what we could lean into was, well, the Mariners have played two more games. Mariners had the night off last night, so it's only one game more than the Mariners have played. And the Astros dropped one of the games they could have gained some ground with. So I need the White Sox to find a way to get a win. Because you don't want to be the team, particularly this Astros team, to lose to that White Sox team when they're in the middle of one of the longest streaks in baseball history. Just find a way at White Sox. Clear the decks, clean that palette, and then go on another losing streak, and the Astros can be part of it.
So we've been getting all over the bottom of the order. Let's get all over the top of the order a little bit. In his last six games, Jose Altuve is 3-for-23. All right? He's dropped 10 points off his average and 24 points off of his OPS. That's not good. Alex Bregman has sucked. Alex Bregman's OPS right now, before yesterday's game, I mean, he did have two homers, including the game winner against the Dodgers. His OPS is 714 right now, or 717 right now, because he got a hit last night. 717, that's awful. A 306 on base and a 411 slugging. That's awful. 717. For a guy that's won, listen, Bleacher Report named him one of the guys with the most to prove here as we go down the stretch. And I agree wholeheartedly. You know, as Alex Bregman goes, like Danny said, when Alex Bregman was hot and Alex Bregman was going pretty damn good, getting a hit or two a night, he went through a nice stretch. He went through a nice stretch in July where he was hitting and the Astros took advantage and he had an 817 OPS in June, which is good. I mean, 800 is about, you know, where you're starting. You're good. You're good. All right. 717 for your third baseman and a star in the league who thinks he's a $30 million a year player. He ain't getting no 30.
Alex, he feels like a guy that's going to be waiting because of what we expect his demand to be. It's like February, early March. Still looking for a deal. If the Astros don't give it to him, who's going to be in a rush to give this version of Bregman that money this early? Well, I don't know. He feels like he's going to be a big-name guy, still waiting. And the baseball offseason kind of drags on, and you kind of forget about guys still hanging out. Then, we're a month away from pitchers and catchers, and this guy still hasn't been signed. He feels like, particularly with being a Boris client, I believe, he's going to be one of those guys.
Yeah, because Boris is going to overvalue him. And I don't think anybody's going to bite on it. Now, listen, you know, I don't know what you're going to get with Alex Bregman. I think he's going to be back here. I think he's going to be back here because they'll do something like, I think they'll do six, maybe 170. I don't know if they'll go 7,200. I don't know. But he'll probably get close to 30 a year. But I just don't know. I feel like they could do a deal with Bregman. I feel like I would really like to have him back. But he goes through these lulls. I mean, he's been bad. He's been bad. 17 OPS for one of your stars that bats second or third every game is not, that's not productive. He comes up with some big hits, that's for sure. But he hasn't been good. And he has not been good lately at all.
Despite what he's been this year, and particularly lately, we know the Astros, they just lose position players. They don't want to pay them, and generally they're right in that regard not to pay them. And they found a way to replace them. Do they have someone that could make up even for this version of Bregman if they decide, no, what you're asking for is too much? They've been able to overcome it year after year after year. It feels like there isn't a real answer. This time around, will they be in a position where they have to because they don't have an option?
They might. Well, you're probably losing Verlander money because he's not going to vest. You know who vested was Presley. Presley vested.
That felt great, didn't it?
This week, yeah. That's awesome. You're going to lose Bregman money. You're going to lose – that's $70 million right there between those two, what they're on the books for right now. So you're going to have some money where you can go and get a guy. Maybe I don't know that they go get a superstar. We'll see what they're going to do. If they bring up DeCenzo, I don't know. I don't know. That's just – it doesn't feel like they're really trying that hard anymore then. It just doesn't. If they're going to replace Bregman, they've got to do it with an established good player. Otherwise, you're just telling the team, we ain't doing this no more. That window's closed.
That would go against what Jim Crane has said.
That's right.
When he's here, they're going to be in it. They're going to be trying to win. So maybe this is the real first test case of it, that this year, which hasn't gone well, and maybe how it ends will determine how they approach it. But if Bregman's going to go and their response is, let's bring up one of the young guys, or the young guy, that would suggest that, hey, maybe that whole no matter what, we're going to compete ain't a real thing in reality, because at some point you have to make decisions.
Yep. All right. 713-780-3776. Hey, Jacob, thanks for the call. Anybody else wants in, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Let's talk a little Texans here. D'Amico Ryans, Austin, get the one talking about Blake Fisher. Listen, Blake Fisher has been, you know, Laramie Tunsil. I don't know. No one knows where he is or what he's doing. Whatever.
They just know he's not practicing.
Whatevs.
He's
Blake
around.
Fisher has been over there on the left side from day one. Okay. And then he was over in the Hall of Fame game. Blake Fisher was out there, and Blake Fisher did a nice job. And you know what? Well, we talk about this all the time. How do you get better? You go against really good guys. Well, he's up against Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson all the time. Here is D'Amico Ryans talking about Blake Fisher and the job he's done this camp.
From the game, I'm pleased with what Blake did in the game. I think he held his own. Again, like everyone, is not 100%. It was things to clean up just with pad leverage, just getting Blake to do a better job of bending, right? But he has the length, he has the tools, right, to play on the left side or right side, as we've seen. And I know he's benefited from being able to get a ton of reps over at the left side, and I think it'll help us as a team. Going against Daniil and Will definitely speed it up for you. So the young rookie has had to learn pretty fast, and it's only made him better. And also, he's had a lot of good reps versus Daniil and Will, so he's held his own. So it hasn't just been totally one-sided as those guys have competed. So Blake has gotten better, but also Daniil and Will has gotten better from going against Blake and Titus as well.
Any update on That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You know what? If you, in a pinch, you need a guy. Blake Fisher's getting a lot of good experience here. And in practice, going against those guys, I mean, how much tougher is it going to be out there? You know, and these guys go for real a lot of times. First of all, to make themselves better, but to make the guy that across from them better. You know, do you have to limit how much contact you have in training camp? Which is, but when you do have it, and in these preseason games, Fisher was on the right side in the Hall of Fame game, and doing a nice job. So, you know, while you got these guys tied up, Laramie and Titus Howard tied up, we've seen that you always need another guy. You always need another guy. Maybe he's that swing guy this year, as opposed to, oh my God, who's it's been a revolving door. Although there's been a few guys that have been around for a while, and you're just like, oh, I guess we got to play that guy now.
Yeah, there's a difference between wondering whether Charlie Heck could be a good swing tackle, yeah, and then a second round pick like Blake Fisher, who could be your guy, and at least because of Laramie Tunsil's, let's just say, unwillingness to practice, that he's getting opportunities at that left tackle spot. He'll be your swing tackle this year. If week one's Hall of Fame game performance is any indication of D'Amico Ryan's word, you have a real legit prospect that at some point, I don't know what you do. We know Titus Howard's not a good guard. You'd love, I don't know if the Texans are going to operate as get our best five on the field maybe next year, but it's not going to be long before the questions are going to be asked about where Titus Howard goes, not where Blake Fisher goes, if he continues on this track.
Yeah. And the it looks like, hey, CJ's playing against the Steelers.
Yeah, the starters are going to play against the Steelers.
The starters are playing. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I just want to keep them clean. That's all I want to keep. I want to keep them clean. That's all.
So if the starters are going to play, does that mean Laramie Tunsil's going to play?
I would hope so. If CJ's on the field, Laramie Tunsil needs to be on the field. Right?
You would think. Is the whole point to have at least how many snaps are they all going to get together? CJ's not a player who needs to prove himself. If he plays more than a series on against the Steelers on Friday, I'd be surprised. I'm sure they'll ramp it up as the preseason goes along. But how many snaps are they going to get together live? They haven't gotten any yet. So at some point, you'd like to get your starting five together. And Laramie Tunsil's a part of that. You don't have to play extended snaps, but just get some in.
Yeah. They stayed up there because they're playing the Steelers next in Pittsburgh. So they're working out at Nick Caserio's high school up there. I'm pretty sure it was Nick Caserio's high school where he played his high school ball, or was it his college? No, university school, Hunting Valley campus in Chagrin Falls.
Chagrin. Hey, that's what they named a place?
Much to my chagrin.
Chagrin Falls.
Chagrin Falls. Hunting Valley campus, yeah. So, and the starters are going to be playing. He says, did they get a couple series, right? That's all we can expect, right?
I guess it depends on how well that first series goes on offense. They go down and score a touchdown, I think they probably would be done. If it's not a quick one, maybe they get 8-9 plays in. That might be enough. If it's a 3-and-out, they would likely come in, I think, for a second series. But if they go down and score a touchdown in that opening drive, I don't think we would see them again, at least on offense. There might be a couple guys who get more time, particularly at offensive line. But would CJ play more than a series if they go 8-9 plays and score?
Yeah, I just don't. You know, I don't need CJ though. I don't really.
But if he's going to play,
right?
I think an extended touchdown drive means he's out.
I would hope so.
And if it's a 3-and-out, but he doesn't get hit, like just say, hey, there's some incomplete balls, he might get another opportunity. I think it all depends on how the plays go. Like if it's a three and out,
you know, D'Amico might go, get back out there. We got to, you know what? You guys got to.
Yeah.
But if they have a nice 8-9-10 play drive, score a touchdown, yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right. I would. And I just want to keep that guy clean. That's all I want.
Yeah, they talked
all season long.
They talked about yesterday how the team on offense didn't get it going early, and then CJ hit a couple guys, Diggs in particular. That's a play I think the Texans highlighted on their social media accounts, and then it got the practice going, got the team going. So I think I think he would probably want to see some consistency on offense for that drive, because they're not practicing with the Steelers. Some of that determines how much guys play. Like, if they're practicing with the Steelers this week, then you might not see them at all, because you're getting all the live work you want against the Steelers in practice. But a drive, I think that's enough. We all know what they're capable of. You like to see Stephon Diggs get involved early, but you know that guy is going to show up when it matters. So we're in a different position than last year, where the questions don't really exist as far as your offense, except maybe the interior. You want to see them play well. But other than that, what questions do you have offensively? And Damian Pierce got some love yesterday,
too. I'll
tell
you what question. You got Kenyon Green.
This is what I'm saying. Your interior guys on offense. That's the only question you would have. Yeah. But as far as the skill guys, I think you're set. And I mentioned Damian Pierce because Baldinger and D'Amico were giving him a lot of love yesterday. We were questioning where Damian Pierce fits. But D'Amico said he looks like rookie Damian Pierce.
Yeah, he wasn't here for that. But yeah, okay. But this, I don't. Does this zone scheme, does it fit him?
We're about to find out. He's going to play. Joe Mixon's still out, so Damian Pierce has a real shot not to overtake Joe Mixon, but solidify himself as maybe a 1B to Mixon. D'Amico has talked about in the offseason he would like a big-time 1-2 punch, and he's pretty much said from almost the onset of the offseason and all the camps and practices that Damian Pierce was a 2 and has looked great. So we'll see him on Friday.
Before it's all said and done, Juwan Jordan is probably going to be number 2. Although Cam Akers has a chance to be 2. We can hear D'Amico talking about that. We've also got, I want to hear him. There was a little back and forth between Petrie and Diggs yesterday, and Al-Shaair got involved. So we'll hear from D'Amico on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Come on in. If you want to get in and talk about this, you're more than welcome. 713-780-3776. I want to talk about Chastain Ford. I want to talk about my people over there. I love the philosophy at the top. It's a pyramid, right? You're great people at the top, and then and you spread that, you know, your philosophy, your business philosophy, your niceness. You spread your lack of greed. I mean, I think all of these things. And you learn throughout the entire building, this is how we do business. When you start at the top with greed and gouge and let's just make as much money as we can and always be closing and high pressure, that sucks. That sucks, okay? But that filters down to your employees too. I'm going to grind, and I'm going to get as much as I can out of each and every client that comes through that door. No. That's not the way to do it at Chastain Ford. You feel comfortable. There's no high pressure. I mean, all these dealerships say the same thing. But I'm telling you, this is the way it is at Chastain Ford. Where do your payments have to be? They actually care about you and your pocketbook and how you're going to save money, how you can afford a vehicle, as opposed to getting as much as they possibly can. That's not what they do. They don't add on. They don't mark up. They're going to give you all the rebates. They're going to do everything they possibly can to give you the best car buying experience you're going to have in the city of Houston. ChastainFord.com on 610 at Homestead. Not Homestead. It's just 5 minutes from downtown Chastain Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.